Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thanks for joining us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate. And Father, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Today we're going to talk about marriage and the worldwide marriage encounter.
Great movement within the Church.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Can you share with us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate, as you said, and I also happen to be the national priest for Worldwide Marriage Encounter for the United States. And so I'm involved in being a presenting priest of Worldwide Marriage Encounter basically throughout the United States.
Oh, wow. Now, what is Worldwide Marriage Encounter?
Worldwide Marriage Encounter is a movement within the Church, an ecclesial movement, priests and laity working together to help enrich marriages, but also to promote vocations to religious life, priesthood, and to marriage, working with married couples and priests working together to renew the Church and to bring new life to the Church.
Marriage, first of all, it is a sacrament.
Yes.
And what does it mean, the sacrament of matrimony? What is that?
Sacrament of matrimony is a sacrament within the Church that as couples marry, they are bringing God's love to the world through their marriage. They are an example of God's love. If you watch a married couple in love living out their sacrament, you are seeing the love of God being shown to the world, because it's a union of a couple, male and female, working together to enhance each other's life, to help each other move towards holiness and wholeness, to move towards God.
I've been married 10 years this year, and it's like a fine wine. It only gets better and better. We don't argue as much. You know, that might happen in a few years from now, but we've really learned what it means to sacrifice and to give of one another. And sometimes we argue just for the fun of it.
That's interesting. But I'll invite you to come on a Marriage Encounter weekend. Like, first off, Marriage Encounter is not for marriages that are struggling.
Okay.
Marriage Encounter.
There's other things that can help with that, though.
Yes.
There are other encounters.
Retrovi is a good one for that's where couples are struggling in their marriage or maybe have separated and they're trying to get back together. Retrovi is it's a break from Worldwide Marriage Encounter, helps them to come back to try to look at the hurts within the marriage. Worldwide Marriage Encounter is a movement in the aspect for good marriages to help them become great marriages.
Oh, yeah.
And so to look at their marriages and saying, okay, can we help these couples to learn how to communicate better?
And that's key, right, Father, communication?
That is probably one of the biggest areas where couples have problems. When I was in the parish as a parish priest, it was kind of interesting. After about 25, 30 years of marriage, people would come to me and say, Father, I don't know her or she doesn't know me.
Wow.
And because they've been so busy being mums and dads, mm-hmm. which is a good thing, but they forgot to be lovers and they forgotten to remember.
And be friends.
Be friends. Yeah, they married this other person because the kids take over.
Well, I can vouch for that. I have 3 kids, a 9, a 7, and an 8-month-old. Mm-hmm. And when you get home from work, they need all your attention.
Well, I'll ask couples many times on a marriage encounter. I'll say, who comes first, your children or your spouse?
And what do they say?
Most people, especially the wives, will say, well, of course, it's my children. And I'll say, no, wrong. It's got to be your spouse. You don't marry your children. You marry your spouse. And the two of you together need to say yes to the kids, need to say yes to something.
Yes or no.
That's right.
Yeah.
The two of you need to work together as a team, mm-hmm. because that's what your sacrament is also, and that's what the marriage is about. It's you as a team working together. And there's a third person in your marriage, which is God. Mm-hmm. And so you're calling upon God to help you to be the best couple that you can be.
So I've heard once before that one of the goals of the spouses is, one of the main goals is to get the other spouse to heaven.
That's right.
Okay.
And so if you are working together to help your spouse to get to heaven, then you're saying that you are taking that time to truly dialogue and work with one another. And one of the questions many I find with many couples, you know, you can use the classic example, how many husbands or wives, when they're talking to one another, you know, maybe the guy's reading the newspaper and the wife says, well, dear, can you do this? And he goes, uh-huh. Can you do this? Uh-huh. And then he said, did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. So what did I just say? I don't know.
That's not nice.
But that's what happens many times, because they aren't taking that time to really hear and listen to one another.
To take one another seriously.
That's right. I also heard one guy say once, I know my wife like a book. And I said, if that's true, you haven't read the first page. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the first page says that you're constantly changing and growing. And so we need to recognize in a marriage, these couples are constantly growing. It's two people that have come together to become one.
And to become better people.
To become better people as we grow together. Because all of us are called to be better.
Yes, okay.
And because as we enter into our relationship with God, as you enter into your relationship with God and you and your spouse.
So I have this partner that I'm growing in relationship with to be better with him.
That's right. And so is God also in that relationship? Are you talking? Does your spouse truly know who you are? Do you share your deeper feelings with your spouse? Because marriage encounter, that's one of the things we try to help couples. Because one of the things, you know, we are very good at the who's, what's, where's, why's, what, and when's, you know, given all kinds of information. But how often do we truly reveal our feelings? What's happening on a deeper level? And when we start to hear our spouse on a deeper level, we start to recognize different issues maybe that can even be taken care of, because all of a sudden we say, you know, if you've married this person, you want things to be better. So like you said earlier, to sacrifice and say, you know what, I need to change. I didn't realize
that this was hurting you.
That's right. And so all of a sudden you start to recognize the person in a deeper way. And so then you desire to change.
Out of love for that other person.
That's right. And so you've made that commitment, because marriage is a commitment. It's a covenant. You make a covenant with one another. It's not a contract. You know, a civil marriage is a contract.
Contracts can be broken. Penalties are paid.
That's right. And contract says, I'll do this if you do this.
Transaction.
That's right. A covenant is a living thing. It's a living organism. It's calling us to grow, to change. It's calling us to be in right relationship. God has a covenant with us, you know. And so we're called to follow that covenant with your spouse. Am I truly taking the time to listen to my spouse on a daily basis? Do I take time to talk to my spouse on a daily basis? You know, we take time. The kids get in the way, so all of a sudden we become moms and dads, and we don't really hear one another.
What are your suggestions when the spouses do come home and their kids, you feed the kids dinner and you give them a shower, and then you're tired and you want to go to sleep? I mean, what are your suggestions about reconnecting with your spouse?
Well, a couple things. One of the things I find is kind of interesting. When couples get married, probably within a month after they get married, they stop dating.
Okay.
You know, all of a sudden,
the honeymoon's over.
Yeah, we're an old married couple now. We don't need to do all these things, you know? And so we go back to old routines. Work becomes more important, or different things, my other friends. And you forget, like when they're dating, you know, both of them are so focused on one another. And now that they've not dated, they're married, we say, well, okay, got to live life, got to do this. And we say, no, I recommend to all couples, you should be taking at least once a month a date night. Go out with your spouse. Take that time. Even if it means just going for a nice long walk and an ice cream cone or something. That's great. Take time to really be there for your spouse. And also to take time, you know, with your kids. Don't let your kids rule your life. I know my oldest brother and his wife almost divorced when their middle child almost caused, because she was playing mom off against dad.
Ooh, okay.
And so
kids do that.
Kids can do that if the parents aren't working as a team.
I see.
If they're not listening to one another. And also, how many sports or how many things do you allow into your child's life?
Well, let me tell you, Father, I had to really simplify my life. My kids wanted to be in so many things, and I wanted them to experience life, so to speak. And so there was ballet, there was piano, there was swimming. And so you're tired from work, you're rushing from their after school daycare to ballet, and then you're rushing to go eat dinner, and then you're rushing to put them to bed, and there's no time. The other day, my 7-year-old said, Mom, how many hours of daylight is there left? And I kind of brushed her off and said, I don't know, Bella, I'm not sure. And I said, why? She said, so I can know how much more time I have to spend with you. because mm-hmm. she knows once that sun's down, it's bedtime. And that was just so sweet, the importance of time. So I know I'm talking about children, but the same thing. There should be a balance with your time with your spouse and a balance with your time with your children.
And that's where a husband and wife need to take time to talk together, because you're parenting, you know. Do we talk about the issue of parenting with one another? Or do you say, well, I'll abdicate now, I'll let the wife do all of that? That's not fair.
Or go ask daddy.
Go ask daddy. Go ask mommy. No, you're called to work as a team, so you need to be actively involved. And the more actively you're involved with each other's lives and with your children's, and you need to regulate your children and say, okay, I know my oldest brother and his wife did that. They had three kids. Each year's get one winter sport and one summer sport. That's it.
That's it.
No more. Because how many times do they spend time together even at home for a meal?
And then there's practice every day for that one sport.
That can be. Yeah. And they said, no, we need to regulate it and say, hey, this is us. Mm-hmm. So Marriage Encounter speaks about really emphasizing your marriage, living a lifestyle.
Enjoying your marriage.
Enjoying your marriage, recognizing your marriage has God involved in it. Do I take time? Do you take time as a family to pray together? Mm-hmm. Do you have couple prayer? Do you recognize also that you're supposed to be forgiving one another, reconciling? There's so much stuff that we don't recognize with our marriages out there. And the next thing you know, when we say after 20 years, who are you? Because we've stopped being a couple.
Well, I'm not in love with you anymore.
Well, and that's true, because they can fall out of love because they've stopped being lovers.
Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. If you are blessed by celebrating 25 or 50 years of sacramental marriage, you're invited to a special Mass in celebration of World Marriage Day, with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. Sunday, February 8th at 9:30 a.m., plan to be at Corpus Christi Cathedral for this special event. Couples celebrating 25 or 50 years of marriage will receive a picture with Bishop Mulvey and a special certificate commemorating their silver or golden wedding anniversary. To get more information or to register by February 2nd, call Ethel Dulock at the Family Life Office, 882-6191. Those celebrating more than 50 years are invited as well. A reception will follow in St. Joseph Hall. Let's all celebrate World Marriage Day together.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate, and we're talking about Worldwide Marriage Encounter. We talked earlier about a little bit about Worldwide Marriage Encounter, but I'd like to know the history of the encounter.
Well, Worldwide Marriage Encounter came to the United States back in the late 60s from Spain, with Father Gabriel Calvo brought it over to the Christian Family Movement in Notre Dame University. And it has spread all through the United States and Canada. And matter of fact, it's in something like 70 countries around the world now. And so it's a program or a movement to help couples enrich their marriage and also to come into a deeper relationship, for also priests and religious and laity working together to promote vocations in one aspect, and vocations to religious life, priesthood, and marriage. That it's marriage is one of the sacraments, just like priesthood.
Father, when you say the word vocations, it made me think of marriage. Do you feel that it's being threatened right now?
Yeah, I believe marriage is being threatened, but I think the threat is more from within ourselves, because we don't take the time to truly listen to where God is calling us. And many people make the wrong choices in their vocations, and they're not listening to that call from God.
So in other words, there might be these what we perceive as outside threats, but really we need to look internally, and we need to look at individual marriages and how – and Worldwide Marriage Encounter helps individual marriages get, like you said, better.
Well, Worldwide Marriage Encounter, it's a movement to help couples that are already married.
Yes.
Now, I truly believe that we need to tighten up a lot of our marriage preparation. preparation programs that we have in our churches, because that can help those couples preparing for marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think at the same time, we need to promote vocations on the whole stanza for religious life, for priesthood, for marriage, for single life. Vocations, because if we don't have good marriages, we're not going to have other vocations to the priesthood or religious life.
I agree.
And so we really need to take time to encourage our young people to look at all those different elements. But they all come down to the fact, am I in relationship with God?
Okay. So before we look at in relationship with my spouse, am I in relationship with God?
Yes. In marriage, if you want to have a sacramental marriage, mm-hmm. for us as Christian Catholics, we say it's a sacramental marriage. So that means God's involved in the marriage. And so am I involved with God?
Do I have a relationship with God?
That's right.
Wonderful.
Or do I just sit, oh, well, it's just me and my wife or me and my husband, you know, whichever person's looking at and going, no, there's more than that.
Do I talk about God to my spouse or with my spouse or mm-hmm. with my children, mm-hmm. with my family?
Do I practice my faith with my spouse by going to church and praying? Mm-hmm. Do we take time for that?
Well, this seems like a wonderful encounter. I need to go with my husband. It sounds very exciting.
I wouldn't say you need to go.
I'd like to go.
But I would say you deserve to go.
There you go.
And a different way of looking at it, because you deserve to help you and your spouse to have the best marriage you can have. You know, when people say, well, you need this, you need that. No, you deserve the best. You've already got a good marriage. Now you need to have a great marriage. And that can happen as the two of you take that time to really grow in your love for one another and your love for God that's in that marriage, in that sacrament of marriage.
I'm going to talk to my husband about attending one of these. Now let's go ahead and talk about other topics there at Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Now, I know you talk a great deal about communication. What are some of the other topics that you see?
Well, communication is the big thing. It's all encompassed within communication. And we try to invite couples as they are communicating, and especially communicating feelings. Not so
that
much
can be difficult.
That's right, because many of us don't even realize some of the feelings we have inside. You know, sometimes, you know, and one of the big things we try to challenge people, some couples will say, well, you make me angry. Can I make you angry?
No.
That's right, because
I shouldn't have control over my own emotions.
Well, not so much control. Anger is an emotion, mm-hmm. and it's neither right nor wrong. Anger is telling me, though, that something's happening within myself.
But someone cannot force me feel that way.
Yeah, something has triggered it, mm-hmm. and maybe you feel resentful or hurt by something. So then you need to maybe address it. You address it also in your prayer. You say, okay, Lord, I'm feeling angry with my spouse right now. What should I do here? And then now if you can sit back and listen, say, yeah, I feel hurt. And you start to recognize why you feel hurt. Well, because he said this or this, and that hurt. That was an insult. And then you maybe need to address and say, you know, I felt really hurt when you said that because it put me down. And all of a sudden, you're not attacking the person. You're helping them to come understand what's happening inside of you. So there's a greater vulnerability. One of the things we try to encourage couples, be more vulnerable with your spouse in expressing who you are and what's happening inside of you.
And that doesn't necessarily happen in the dating process.
Lots of times it doesn't. Lots of times it gets hidden.
Okay.
Because we put on our best side for when we're dating. When you get married, though, now you got the elbow-to-elbow rubbing together.
You live under the same roof.
That's right. And you start to see the idiosyncrasies. You know, something you may have started off, you know, you really liked about the person. Oh, yeah, he was a real jokester all the time.
Now it's just annoying.
Yes. I don't like all the jokes. I feel put down by the jokes. Yeah. I feel the brunt of your jokes. Mm. And so next thing you know, we start to see something different. And so we need to be communicating and working through that. Also, Marriage Encounter really challenges couples to enter into that dialogue process where they're sharing their feelings on a deeper level on many difficult topics, finance, sex. And one of the hardest ones is death. Because when you get married as a couple, you're married for life. And for better or for worse, you know, type of things. But then to recognize that many people don't talk about death. All of us will die one day.
So we should talk about it.
We need to talk about it. And to recognize, what does that mean if you're going to lose a spouse?
That's a big deal.
Well, I can honestly say I've had the privilege of being with a couple while the wife was dying. And the husband says, well, Father, what should we do? I said, well, let's just hold hands. And I said, and she was in a coma already. They say the one last thing to go is someone's hearing. I said, tell your wife what you'd like to have done with her like for the summer. And he sat there and he told her. He said, I would love to have gone to the cottage, this and that. And he was crying and he was holding his hands. And then the saddest moment, that was one of the happiest moments I ever, that was so intimate, being with them as they shared, he shared his love for his wife in that moment. And then the saddest moment was after she died. And then he left. And I'm sitting there and I had to go to the chapel and I started crying in the chapel because I said, I felt so lonely now because here's this man who lost his spouse of 40 years.
Wow.
Another one of the great moments I've had the privilege of doing was I did a wedding anniversary of a couple married 75 years.
Wow.
And it was just so good to see this couple. I still remember it. We said, well, you can kiss the bride now.
And he gave her a
little,
really?
He gave her a little peck. And we said, no, you give her a real kiss.
Cute.
And he says, Father, we're in church.
So
he
said,
and he was 98 and she was 96. They had buried half their children.
Oh,
and
my.
A couple of their grandchildren. And he was just filled with love for this woman. Matter of fact, 6 weeks later, he died on the steps of the church coming out of Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
So he was ready to be
with
her.
Yeah, he was... Yeah, and he lived his life. He lived his marriage. And it was focused. God was also involved in their marriage. And so we really encourage people, you know, you got to have God in your marriage. You have to have love in your marriage. And that only happens if you two as a couple take the risk to truly be vulnerable and caring and loving to one another. You have to constantly be sharing and sacrificing.
So when you say sharing, that means that the spouses also need to have a listening ear.
That's probably the biggest thing. Can I take the risk to really listen to what my spouse has to say? And not to judge it, mm-hmm. not to justify anything you're saying, just to hear. And to
or
say,
not
okay.
to get offended, I mean.
Well, try not to get offended. Sometimes we do.
Okay.
But also to address. But that's why in Marriage Encounter, we teach them the technique to write a love letter to one another on a daily basis. That they can take 20 minutes each day. 10 minutes to write something and then 10 minutes to dialogue on what they've written and to share on a deeper feeling, on a deeper level.
Is it all good thoughts or do you ask them to share whatever is on their mind?
They'll choose their topics themselves. Sometimes they might choose some really crazy thing like, you know, if I was a bowl of ice cream, what kind of ice cream might I be? And how do I feel about my answer? Because what you want to do is address your feelings. So your spouse comes to know you in a deeper way because of your feelings.
So feelings are important.
Feelings are really important. And too often, we don't talk about our feelings. And because our society almost has taught us, you know, like for men especially, okay, big boys should not cry. You know, I remember being taught that before my father died. When my father died, well, you're a big boy now. You shouldn't be crying.
Mm.
And well, I was 14 years old. Well, makes no difference. Men don't cry. Men don't show. You shouldn't show this. You know.
All these stipulations.
Yeah.
You just need to be yourself.
That's right. Well, we need to recognize we have feelings, and feelings are neither right nor wrong. Feelings are telling us that something's happening inside of us. And if we keep pushing all our feelings down, eventually they come up in weird and wonderful ways. And that's when it gets us in trouble, because then what happens, it starts to address or move us to certain behaviors. And now, behaviors can be right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are not. Just like, you know, we have to be careful. We have to say, can we say that you're a bad person or I'm a bad person? We can never say people are bad. Because then if you say people are bad, then you're saying God created junk.
Mm-hmm.
God made a mistake.
But their actions.
Their actions, their behavior are always can be judged. And so we judge the actions or behaviors. We don't judge feelings because feelings tell us. Feelings are very good. Even if it's an angry feeling, it's telling you something's going on inside that you need to take to prayer and talk to someone about to find out a deeper aspect of yourself.
Yeah, that we care about something.
Well, you're telling us that we're alive.
And that's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for being a part of the Worldwide Marriage Encounter.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors at KLUX.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant in the Gospel of Matthew when he tells us to be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect? I have. It seems that Jesus is telling us that we need to be like God, to do and be something that is divine, not human. Come on, Jesus, get real. Isn't that impossible? So why should we even try? Consider that right before telling us to be perfect, he tells us not to be like those who hate their enemies and love only their friends. This, then, begins to make a little more sense. It offers us some direction. When we plant a garden, we prepare the soil, sow the seeds, water them, and then wait. After a while, a plant springs up. It converts the nutrients and moisture from the ground into the substance of the plant, and from it come the grain or flowers, according to the nature of the plant. So it is with us. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus prepares the soil of our souls, calling us to holiness, to the fulfillment or perfection of being human. He is not demanding perfection of just a few. Rather, he speaks to all of us, each one in turn. And he says, be perfect. Then he grants us the means and graces that make it possible. God has chosen the ground in which we are meant to grow, to reach the fullness of our nature as a human being. That fullness is given to us from the very beginning when he created us in his image and likeness. To help us reach what may seem impossible, he has planted us in our particular family, in a particular time and place. It is here, in our time and place, in our family and work, among our friends and co-workers, that we find the necessary nutrients to mature and bear fruit, to be holy and perfect, even as our Father is perfect. It is in our society, with all of its problems, that we are called to be holy. It is here in our parishes and churches that we obtain the graces necessary to attain perfection. At first glance, we might think that there is no holiness or perfection to be found in these places. After all, maybe my parents are divorced, my family is broken, my co-workers don't like me, and the people at church, well, they're hypocrites. Nevertheless, this is where God calls us to live the Christian virtues, to practice true charity, which is love of neighbor, even the ones we can't stand. He wants us to be holy in every circumstance, and we can only do it by knowing him and relying on him. To know him is to be like him, because once we know his love, we can want nothing less. May you leave behind wishful thinking for things the way you imagine they should be, and turn instead to the most immediate reality of being perfect, even as he is perfect. May you always embrace the labors of love to which he has called you, and in which he has placed you, and may God's blessings be with you today and always as you seek his perfection. Amen.
Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Father Rocky Grimard, a missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate. If you would like more information about Worldwide Marriage Encounter, please visit www.wwme.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.